Give us sin. Who dared to take on human flesh and dwell among us.
Praise be to God.
Who did not turn back in the face of evil and death.
Praise be to God.
Who continues to dance through our lives even now.
Let all that have breath sing praise to God. Join me.
misery could live. Why not do not get in that situation? Do not discourage. Would you please join me in prayer? Gracious God, you have enriched and enlightened us by the revelation of your eternal Christ. Comfort us in our mortality and strengthen us to walk the path of your desire, so that by word and deed we may manifest the gracious news of your faithfulness and love. Holy Father, Father of Christ, we ask the disciples what are you looking for, and we offer the invitation to come and see. Open our hearts to what you reveal and give us the courage to follow. By your Spirit, aid us in our journey, so that like John, our words and deeds point to the name of God. For those who are suffering, let us point to Christ who comforted. For those who are hungry, let us point to Christ who bread. For those in the grip of the Spirit, let us point to Christ who hope. Almighty God, whose Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, is the light of the world, grant that your people, illumined by your word, may shine to the radiance of Christ's glory, that he may be known, worshipped, and obeyed to the ends of the earth. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever, as we continue to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and glory, forever and ever. Sometimes my son Simon, my baby, sees it and he wants it. And he tries to reach for it and grab it. And if he caught it, he would jam it in his mouth. All he knows is that he wants it. And he can sink the system and chew on it. And slug and slug a little bit. And he won't break it. But this also teaches him what his self-awareness is. Right? It teaches him. It makes noise, he recognizes sounds. Right? And it like kind of looks like a camera. He learns how to use a phone thing at this point, right? And so Jesus is kind of like this toy self. God is way too big and complex and difficult for us to understand, right? And so, in order to teach us more about God, God sent his son Jesus to earth so that we could learn from him. So, God sent Jesus as a human to teach us who God is. Just three. So, you guys join me for prayer. Dear God, thank you for sending us Jesus Christ so that even though we don't completely understand you, we can at least learn about you by following your son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
No.
That's the one. Jesus.
Got it.
What has come into being in him was life.
Yeah.
the life was the light of all people.
And the energy of life in us is God's incarnate presence. May we live as though we know it. Amen. From the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 13 to 18. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the Lord and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God, and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known."
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I stumbled across this passage when I was doing Sunday school this year. We were doing the mystery of God, trying to engage with this idea of God as fundamentally different than everything you understand. You might not actually remember I referenced that grace upon grace when my sister got baptized. It's been stirring with me for a little while, and I figured priesthood of all believers, I should maybe do come up and preach sometime. So today's passage is one of the most interesting for me about the nature of God in the Bible. The idea that God is completely apart from human experience. And what I mean by that is in verse 18 when it says, no one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart. I use that NRSV translation, by the way. Who has made him known? And this verse states what I often hear to as referred to as the holy other God, and that's holy with a W, not a H. So God is completely different than anything any of us can ever experience in life. Every part of creation, from back before time, has always been not God. God is the one presence that we have ever heard of or ever can experience in any sense that is not like us or like anything we see. Everything that every person has ever experienced is not God. And that's a little bit uncomfortable for me because I think it's foundational to the Christian to try to have a relationship with God. And how do you have a relationship with a being that is fundamentally different on every level than us? Well, obviously I have an idea because I wouldn't come up to preach if I didn't think there was something to say about it. So, there are, I think, a few ways we can engage with God. The first is pretty clearly stated in today's verse, Jesus. So I think pretty basic stuff, and that's probably not a big shock, but I think it is a miracle. Because God becomes part of the flesh. God leaves that status of holy other and gives us something to connect to, and that was pretty nice of God. The gospel writer seems to really want to get across how amazing this is. Uses a lot of language of grace upon grace. The very idea of God as holy other is defeated in Jesus on earth. For about 30 years, in around 3 AD to about 3 BC to 33 AD, God was a part of creation. God was around. We could interface with God. We could talk with God. We could touch God. And that's really amazing. But unfortunately for us, Jesus isn't around right now. The Word became flesh and then died, and now it's ink. So we have, helpfully, some red ink in our Bibles that sort of get it across. But it's not the same thing. There's a popular Christian writer named Thomas Aquinas. He writes about this a lot. God enters into creation as a commonality. But we've lost it again. God is wholly other. But we can, I think, look to the Word to reflect some aspect of Jesus. I have a professor at CMU, in English actually, named Paul Dick. He talks a lot about presence and absence. That is, when you get a letter from someone in the mail, in some way they're present with you, even though they're absent. And that's sort of how I look at the Bible. God is present with us in a way in the absence of God. I mean, they're not fully there. Jesus isn't physically with me when I'm reading the Bible, but there is a presence there that we can experience. Now that was all, I think, a bit philosophical and rambling, so I'd like to give you something a little bit more practical to latch onto. Next time you read your Bible, I'd like you to, when you read about Jesus' actions and words, try to really experience them not as so much God saying it, but as a person saying it. Try to think about how you act when you talk to other people about how their words influence you, and take in some of that. I think that would be the first step to developing a genuine friendship with this unknowable God. Now, earlier I mentioned Aquinas, and the reason I have titled today's sermon / rambling the unknowable God is because as much as reading your Bible, you can get an idea about God and how God acted on earth, I don't believe we can ever really know God in that sense. Because as I tried to explain earlier, God isn't a part of creation. Even when Jesus was on earth, I don't think we can say that God was merely Jesus. God's always the three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As we read today's passage, we still see that no one has ever seen God, and this is written after Jesus' time on earth. So still, no one has ever seen God. Even though the Word became flesh, God is still unseen. To have seen Jesus is not to necessarily have seen God. And this is something that Aquinas talks about in the Summa Theologiae. Aquinas explores the philosophy of charity. And this is something that I really latched onto a few years ago. I took a class on friendship and charity. And it's something we've lost in our modern idea about charity. See, to us, In English today, charity mostly just means giving money to the poor or the unfortunate. But the word itself actually means the love of God. God's love is charity. So when God loves humanity, that's charity. And the reason charity has become what it is today is it comes from Aquinas' theology. See, Aquinas believed that because God is holy other, we can never have a true relationship with God, which really troubled him as it troubles me, because Aquinas also believed that.